So hi, this is Nick Williams sitting here with Art Geyser. Hi, Art.
Hey, Nick.
How you doing?
Great to be. I'm excited about this.
It's been great. So we've been thinking about having a conversation. So what we're going to do, we're going to have a conversation to start with, and then you're going to lead people listening to this on a process. And a pattern I've seen, and you say you resonate with this as well, is especially when people are doing work that they love, something that's really meaningful to them, that's really their kind of spiritual purpose and is the sharing of their gifts with the world. I've seen so many people, including myself, try and squeeze ourselves into some kind of business that doesn't really suit us, and we try and edit ourselves or bend ourselves out of shape. And what we're going to talk about is how do we build a business that really is a reflection of who we truly are, and then how do we clear other people's ideas of how we should do things out of our kind of energy space and out of our thinking, so that we can truly A, be ourselves, and B, create a business that we're going to be truly happy and successful running. And I'm excited about having this conversation because I think it's such an important part of being what I call an inspired entrepreneur, and I don't know what you call it. What's your thoughts?
Well, I'm also very excited about it, and I think there's this interesting duality where, of course, you want to learn what works and get ideas from people, and at the same time, some of the most successful people in the world aren't following those rules and aren't following those models. And I don't know if he's known very well in the UK, but there's a man named Richard Simmons in the US who at one time was one of the top fitness gurus in the world. Well, he's short, a little feminine, a bit overweight. He doesn't look anything like a fitness guru. And if somebody were, you know, had been coaching him, they'd have said, well, you need to change this and you need to change that. He ended up being a soap opera star and a fitness guru, and completely violates everything
every
that should have worked.
Every strategy and, that he should have followed.
Yeah, and he's just so authentic, and he's so on purpose, and his biggest target audience are people who don't believe they can exercise because they're so overweight, and and he just fabulous work with people. And was phenomenally successful, and all doing it, again, in a way that a really a typical, wonderful business coach would have made him change everything.
So, you know, what I'm thinking is there's a delicate balance between not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I think there's lots of great things we can learn from other people.
Absolutely.
Strategies and how to use them. But I think what I'm getting is that most people, or people can be tempted to miss out the first step, which is to really listen to their own inner wisdom, their own spirit, their own natural intelligence about who they are, what they're here to do, and how they can best show up in the world. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, of course you want to be learning, and for a lot of people, like, it's a good idea to get on Facebook and learn how to use it, and a lot of these kinds of things. And for the people that you're working with and I'm working with, and people like ourselves, we have to feel like we're on purpose. And when we start doing things mechanically like that, it may work, but often we're just not that good at it. Where if we're on purpose, we can do, we don't have to do as good a job as that.
No. But that raises, for me, a really important point is, you know, I think one of the bits of conditioning I certainly have grown up with, and I think most people have, is that you can create a business doing what comes naturally to you. I was never taught that I could create a business around creating a business doing what comes naturally to me. Were you growing up told that?
Back in the, might have been the late 70s, a man named Bruce Honig was teaching courses on creativity. And now that's a pretty common subject, but at the time I remember I was stunned, like, you could do that? You could make a business out of something that fun and amazing as teaching? I mean, I was like, stunned.
So brilliant. So here's the first key point for everybody listening to this. You know, and really this is what we're passionate advocates of, is building a business around what you are naturally good at doing. What's your strengths, what's your passion, what's your inspiration, what's your sense of spiritual purpose? And that's gotta be the foundation of your business, really. And perhaps that's the bit where so many people in my, you know, observation go wrong, is they're not doing that because also they think it's too high risk. You know, if they show up in the world as they really are and it doesn't work, they're going to go, oh, that could be painful not for that not to work. So if I edit myself and do something that's not quite really me, then the risks of feeling stupid or whatever are not so high. What's your take on
that? The risks of feeling stupid and just thinking, well, who, you know, it'll never work if I don't match these sort of things. And that's, again, why I brought up Richard Simmons, because he didn't match any of, I mean, just think of the opposite of a fitness guru, and that was him. And he made it work and gave a great contribution to the world. And, you know, and I sit there going, geez, years ago, I might have coached him out of some of that.
As we're having this conversation, part of me goes, gosh, you know, some of the advice I used to give to people, right. You know, I'm kind of beginning to regret in a way, like, because I feel today more than ever I run a business that's an expression of the real me, and mm-hmm. I guess your business is the expression of the real you, isn't it? It's like, you know, your business just supports you showing up in the world. My business just supports mm-hmm. me showing up in the world. And I guess in a way we're quite privileged to do that, but I guess we're also leaders, and we're mm-hmm. really, and this is the purpose of this conversation and the process that you'll lead people through in a minute, is to say this is the way of the future, really. Mm-hmm. You know, the business is about people showing up as they really are in the world and just building the structures around that to get paid for doing it.
Yeah, and then, you know, as we said, learning from other people and mm-hmm. also realizing it doesn't always have to be that linear. I remember many years ago I had a client who is himself a therapist, and we were talking about things, and he goes, I've never had to build my practice. He goes, right at the beginning, I worked with this homeless guy who had a drug problem, and things worked out really well. Well, it turned out his family was a very wealthy, influential San Francisco family, and they were so thrilled with what I did that after that, they plugged me into the network, and I've always had clients since.
Brilliant.
You know, and who would have thought, I'm going to work with this drug addicted homeless guy, and that's going to make my career.
Yeah. So here's a point, because I think most conventional kind of entrepreneurs, if you know, certainly in the UK, if you go to start up a business, the first thing you want to see is your business plan.
Right.
And what I'm guessing I would say, and I think you would probably say, is, you know, when you're working much more from soul and energy, mm-hmm. there is a deeper plan, but you may not be aware right. of that plan. The plan will keep unfolding. So I'm guessing what we're hitting on here is also the core assumption or presupposition that the deepest part of you already has a plan. Would you suggest that?
Yeah, already. Yes, it may not be exactly a plan, or it might be, but it's certainly a path.
An intelligence.
Definite a path, and that if you allow it, it will guide you. And that one of the challenges is sometimes what you think you want, if you actually try it out, you may go, actually, I don't like it that much. Mm. And things that you didn't think you were going to like, they keep presenting themselves.
Yeah.
So I think that, the deep part of ourselves is there guiding us all the time. I do a lot of corporate work, and I like it, and I do it as an expression of what I believe. But then there's my work that's really totally what I believe and what I want. And I was in Brazil at a spiritual center that run by John of God, and I was thinking, well, okay, do I take the risk of really putting out there what I do, and will my corporate clients think I'm too weird, and you know, and it felt like a lot of risk, and there's a lot more, it seems like there's more money in the corporate work and more of a sure thing, and it was on purpose for me, it just wasn't as on purpose. And I went in front of John of God at the end, and I was saying goodbye, people do that a lot. And through a translator, he goes, go home and do your work. And I thought, well, I am going home. And what a weird thing to say. And I mentioned to a friend who knew I was going through this quandary, and she goes, go home and do your work. And I went, oh. And it helped. It was already going to happen, but it was sort of helped do that tipping point into life. Yeah. Go for it, Art, and see what happens.
So my experience is, and it sounds like it is yours as well, that often we do go on a journey where the work we start off doing has a degree of us in it, mm-hmm. and a degree of what we think we should and ought to be doing. And our journey is then about clearing out the shoulds and the oughts, and this right. is much more to the deeper wisdom that says this is your real work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that sounds like it's been your journey. And
exactly.
And presumably it's an ongoing and deepening journey, is it?
Absolutely, yeah. It's evolving all the time.
Yeah, certainly for me it is. It's like I have a sense of what I'm doing, but then the clarity keeps coming and keeps coming.
And for me, it is all the programming and the shoulds and other people's opinions and what I was taught. And there's also an aspect of just the beliefs that I've set up about myself, who I am and what I do and what I'm good at and what I like. And sometimes I've been quite surprised when I was open to trying different things that, like, I never thought I'd like that, and I do, or I thought I'd love that one, and it wasn't quite there. And I do believe there's that part of how that inner guidance is showing up is is a dance with the outside world. And we get a lot of guidance. And a lot of people talk about maybe 3, 4, 5 people will all go, gee, do you do X, you know? And by the last person, you go, maybe I ought to look at that. And I seem to be getting this message. Why do people keep asking me about this?
Yeah.
And I often find that that will happen. It's something that I may not immediately recognize it as being on purpose. And if I keep getting messages to do that, then it's like, well, let me check it out at least.
Mm.
And what I love about nowadays is, you know, unless you're in manufacturing, it may be a little different, but for most of us, through the internet and different things, you can try things. It's not, you don't have to spend a fortune to try something.
You can test run something and see what response you get. And as you're saying as well, also test run it and see how you feel about it. Does it really feel you? Because I don't know what your experience is, but mine is that the more I'm doing stuff that's really me, the more positive response I usually get to it. And the more I'm doing stuff I think I should or ought to do, the less positive response I get to it.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And then there's also like discovering in myself that what when I'm in action really appeals to me. And sometimes it's exactly what I thought, and sometimes it's like, oh, that's really different than what I made up in my head around it.
Yeah.
And that, so to me, it is like doing this dance with the unfolding of life and trusting that your inner self and the greater spirit will guide us, you know, if we're open to it.
We just launched recently our community in London. It's a kind of new venture for me. And just literally on the day we were launching it, I kind of tuned in to, you know, what is it really about? And I said, you know, what came to me is like, it's about supporting three people on three levels of intelligence. So there's like, you know, business intelligence, and strategy intelligence, which is really, like we said, it's really important to learn how to do things in the world and make things happen. But then it also came to me that, you know, we're about the intelligence of the heart. You know, like going where your heart is leading you. And then the intelligence of the spirit, which is knowing that there's a guiding energy and a guiding spirit within each of us that's nudging us along as well. And
I like that.
And I just thought maybe this is how business is going to be much more operating in the future. That, you know, yes, it's about strategy, because most business is about strategy. And we're beginning to understand more about emotional intelligence. But what if we really began to understand spiritual intelligence? And there's always something wanting to unfold for each of us and pull us forward in our life. And your work seems to have a presupposition that your spirit always wants to move you forward. Your inner wisdom and spirit are always drawing you forward.
Yeah, and when you listen to a lot of the very top business people or people in all fields that are successful, you know, almost all of them have quotes about intuition and following your intuition. And it was interesting, Donald Trump was hardly my model of a spiritual business person. And, you know, who knows what he's really like. But, you know, I heard him say once, he goes, you know, I do all the analysis of a deal and the facts and figures, and then if it doesn't feel right, I don't do it. Even if the numbers add up. And I thought, interesting.
It's fascinating, isn't it? Yeah.
And Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, all these people, Richard Branson, they all talk about intuition is the most important thing in business.
Great. So that's trusting hunches, trusting that intelligence of the heart.
Exactly.
Emotional intelligence. Yeah. Okay, so I know your work is based on the presupposition. I think mine is increasingly becoming, you know, based on the presupposition that our inner wisdom and spiritual guidance, our intuition is always wanting to lead us forward. And yet, probably what blocks so many of us is the inherited programming and conditioning that we're all running that gets in the way of it, that either causes us to get scared or not trust the guidance that we have, or edit and adapt it so that it doesn't show up fully. So, as the second part of this, would you be willing to guide us through a little process to help us actually clear out from our energy system? Because I know this is one of the things you're superb at, is helping people clear out their inherited programming conditioning, which may have served them and may never have served them, but to free them up to allow that natural wisdom and intelligence to emerge into their awareness. So would you lead us through that process how we can do that?
And let me just explain to people a couple of principles that I'd like them to consider. One is that one of the best ways to access that inner wisdom and spirit and that inner guidance is to be playful and use your imagination and to use metaphors and analogies that aren't meant to be taken as being literally true, but they guide that inner wisdom and how to do things. And when I teach programs and stuff, one of the hardest things for some people is to get that it really could be that simple. Mm. You know, and then people will look at me like, well, it can't be that easy. And I go, it's actually easier than that. It's not about effort. It is about providing kind of a mental pathway for your inner self that to guide you through. So what I'm about to describe is meant to be something done playfully, seriously and playfully, and to not think of these things as, well, is it literally true and is this really happening, so much as by having these kind of thoughts in your head, you activate processes that are more beautiful and complex and interesting than the way that I'm describing them. And this is just a pathway in to allow people to access the abilities they already have. So if we step into the idea that we all have an enormous amount of programming and beliefs that that have come from everything from our family to our teachers to society around us, and that it's invisible to us how programmed we are.
Mm. And we have no way of knowing how programmed we are beyond.
No, and one of the things that's fascinating about modern life where people are traveling more is you go to different kinds of cultures, you start noticing their programming. And then if you take the next step, you realize, huh, I mean, they're seeing things completely differently than I'm seeing them in some situations. I mean, we're all human beings and you feel that connection, but you also get sometimes, they're just seeing this totally differently than I am. And you start realizing that we've all been programmed to see things certain ways. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's part of being a human being in human societies. There is the opportunity then to go, I don't have to let that control me anymore. And I can tap into something deeper, my own wisdom and my own spirit, and use that guidance rather than the programming the people, mostly very well-intentioned, taught us. So a lot of entrepreneurs or potential entrepreneurs, you know, they got enormous programming from the family about, you know, get a safe career, get a safe job. Of course, those don't really exist anymore, but we still have that programming that tells us, like, oh, it's dangerous to be an entrepreneur. And in my corporate consulting, one of the things I've had to help people deal with is, you know, people used to think of work for a corporation for life, and there's some kind of security, and now we know your pension can go away, your job can go away, the corporation can go away. So that those old beliefs about safety is through a traditional job are not necessarily true. That's one pathway, but the entrepreneurial pathway is another, and yet we still have all this programming. But oh, that's dangerous and it's unsafe and so on and so forth. So that's just one example. Or that people have lots of programming, perhaps that you have to do it in a certain way.
You have to be aggressive or competitive.
I was just thinking that one. Yeah,
you know, overly masculine, and that the feminine qualities are not invaluable in business.
Right,
those kind of things.
Yeah, if you're a woman, you have to be mannish, and if you're a man, you have to be mannish rather than genuinely masculine. And in this kind of, like from TV and movies, is the hyper-aggressive businessman who's cutting everybody's throats behind their back.
Yeah.
When in fact, when people study people that are successful in business, that type of personality is less successful overall than people that are more collaborative. Some of them get it to work, but many more successful people are highly collaborative. But this is, you know, examples of belief after belief. And in my way of thinking, people are not just programming you through what they say, but they're literally on a spiritual, energetic level programming you. And whether they're your children or your parents or a spouse or a friend, everybody's putting that out. When I was young, my father had a very good job being in charge of one of the first commercial computers in operation. And at that time, people really did think of corporate jobs for life. And they loved him in the company, and he had done great work. But as the computers got better, he found it boring. They weren't the challenges weren't as interesting. So he quit his job and got a different one. And my mother totally supported him. But most of the people we know went, you have a really good job, and you're well paid, and people love you. Like, why would you leave? Leaving? Yeah. Because I'm bored. And back then, that was a very unusual thing.
Yeah.
Now it's more and more people are going, I don't have to
stick with something boring and unfulfilling.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So The people that were trying to program my father meant well. And, you know, and happily my mother somehow got him and trusted him and supported him in doing it. Otherwise, I'm sure a lot of men in the same situation
would still be there.
or women, yeah, or would have been, their life would have been a hell around it.
Yeah.
Even though I was raised that way, I still had to confront all the societal programming that was saying something different.
Mm.
Even though I had this role model that works. In his next career, you know, aspect of his career worked very well for him. So, but in spite of having that demonstration in my life, I still had the programming that said, you know, be safe and find something that works and then stay there. So for everybody listening to this, the way to do this is to be playful. And what I'd like them to imagine, and I'm going to describe this as a visualization. For the people listening who don't visualize well, you don't actually have to see a visualization. You just pretend it's happening. Because your unconscious mind will visualize it. And the only thing that would block it is if your conscious mind is going, I'm not visualizing it right, or it's not clear, how come I'm not seeing this? All people need to do is think of it in words or pretend it's happening. And if they do see it clearly in their mind's eye, that's fine. It's just not necessary. So what I would like people to imagine is that floating out in front of them, maybe 20 feet or 7 meters in front of them, is a magnet, like a child's magnet. One of the reasons I like using magnets as a metaphor is that almost everybody played with a magnet when they were a child. So on a deep level, it's wired in that magnets are these things that have energy. And if you, like, you let a pin go and it goes to the magnet. So we've all had the experience that it can draw things away using its own magical powers. So imagine a magnet floating out 7 meters, 20 feet in front. And then what I would ask people to do is, and this is where they need a little leap of faith, but it's not faith in me, and it's not faith in what I'm saying, it's faith in their own innate self, their miraculous self, their inner wisdom and intelligence. And what I'm suggesting to people is to take a moment and go, I'm willing to put my inner wisdom and spirit in charge of what happens here. I don't have to figure it out consciously. And this goes back to what you said at the beginning, that we have this inner self that's there to guide us on our career path and on our business path. So I'm suggesting everybody take a moment and just go, okay, I trust my own inner wisdom and spirit on this. And then what it does, my conscious mind will be happy with. And then ask your own inner wisdom and spirit to kind of scan you psychologically and energetically for beliefs and programming that interfere with your ability to really be successful in your own business as an entrepreneur, to really have that success coming out of your authentic sense of purpose, whether you're conscious of it or not yet. So just have that intention, if that's what you want, to go, okay, I want to be successful, and I want that success to come out of my manifesting my purpose, my gifts in the world in a way that other people value. And then let your wisdom and spirit start identifying the programming. This is, maybe I'm not smart enough or good enough, or I have to have a regular job, or if I'm in business for myself, I have to work 90 hours, because it's not true. And just all these kind of beliefs. And then what I suggest they do is imagine that magnet is pulling those beliefs and programming out of you in a very gentle, firm way, and it just pulls it out of you to that magnet. So I'm going to ask the listeners to just imagine that now. And if they feel like a tug of war, any resistance going on, ask their wisdom and spirit to release whatever is blocking them, because there'll be other beliefs or programming that are blocking a person from releasing the other programming. So, for instance, they might have a deep belief that I can't have a successful business, and when they try to let go of it, it's because there was some programming that said they weren't good enough or smart enough or something. So then you release both of those to the magnet. It's like whatever comes up. And then what I would like people to do is just imagine they can take that magnet and throw it into a beautiful fire of some kind. And fire is a symbol that's in our consciousness of transformation. It's in religions and spiritual groups, and everything uses flames and fires as a symbol of transformation. So, again, that's in your unconscious mind. So go ahead and take that magnet, throw it in the fire, and let all those beliefs and programming be dissolved by the fire and burnt up. And what I'd like people to do is do that a couple of times. Release the magnet, throw it in the fire, burn it up, get a new magnet. And to do that until they feel like that's as much as wants to release right now. And what I would suggest for people is for the next week at least, every day, think about having a business that you're thrilled with, that is expressing your purpose, that is a gift to the world. And every time that you do that, just put a magnet out and let it pull out of you more and more of the beliefs and programming. Because sometimes there are a lot of them. I mean, some people, one magnet, they may do it. But for a lot of us, you might have to do it 100 times. And each time you do it, you'll feel more of a sense of an inner guidance is starting to grow. And more of a sense of you really can do something that would make you very happy and fulfilled and be successful at it.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
So thank you for leading people through that process. You know,
you're very welcome.
I met you about nearly a year ago now, and I've been following your processes since I met you. And I think the best way I can describe it, and I think, you know, other people say this to you as well, is since I've been doing this energetic work, like the process you just described, is I just feel like I'm becoming more and more me, and less how I thought I should or ought to be, and conditioned to be. And I think, you know, you'll agree from what you've told me that it's just ongoing work, isn't it? You know, we have no concept of how conditioned we have become.
Exactly.
And it's not, sometimes it's not until we start releasing stuff we even realized it was there. Because it's so deeply buried, or it just seems so much part of the context of our lives, we think it's just reality rather than belief. So.
And I think that's a lot of it. It's just, it's the old joke, a fish doesn't notice water.
No.
You know, it's the water we swim in, so we don't even notice it.
Yeah, it's not until we're up on dry land we realize we're missing the water. Thank you, Art. Sorry, yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say for people that as you clear it, things start improving. So you don't have to get it all cleared, and every little bit moves you forward. And that... just that simple process in and of itself, if people really did it every day, and I'm talking about taking 2 minutes and doing it every day for a week, 2 weeks, would have a quite a profound effect on themselves.
Yeah. I can give testimony to that.
Yeah.
So thank you. I really enjoyed this conversation. Hope you listening have found the conversation useful and you know, using Art's energetic process to clear this conditioning, because I really think it makes a big difference. So thank you very much for doing
that. Thank you, Nick.
Pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye.